The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN Friday edition, closing out the week, brought to you by BetMGM. I am Matt Brown on the desk for Gil Alexander. The familiar beard is still behind the glass. Kelly Bidlin with me here. Kevin on the ones and twos behind the glass as well. And if you were watching the NBA last night, you noticed that there were only three games in action. However, a couple of different things became pretty apparent to me last night, and then one big scare. Of course, a little bit later, we will talk to Pete Futak about some NFL stuff, mainly the draft, to see if he has any guys. Okay, let's just go ahead. We are going to grill him as to why he has Will Levis going number one overall when he's the only person in America that has Will Levis going number one overall. That's what we're going to do with Pete. We'll have Dallin Cuff on a little bit later as well, and then Adam Burke will join us in studio. But Kelly, we're sitting here watching last night. The Bucks 112-100 over the Bulls. That's not the story in the game. The story in the game is, if you weren't watching, you get a little notification coming through the Twitter machine. The Twitter machine says Giannis is leaving the court. Okay, well, whatever, we see guys leave the court all the time. Okay, then we get, oh, never mind, Giannis is leaving the court. Giannis will not return in this game, and he will not return in this game because of a wrist injury that he had while trying to block a shot. And I'm sitting here going, okay, this is obviously not good, mainly specifically because Kelly and I were sitting here telling everyone to bet him in the MVP market yesterday on the show, but like, you know, or this morning on the show it would have been. And so I was like, all right, well, let's dig into this a bit more. I watched the replay. I see some stuff. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look bad either. It's just kind of somewhere in between. But that being said, you always start to take pause and look into these things and say, like, okay, is this something that is now bettable? Look, at the end of the day, this is a betting show. It's a human aspect show as well. I hope Giannis is fine. But also, if this looks bad and there are still MVP markets up, we were advocating already to take Nikola Jokic yesterday. And then if that was the case with the Embiid stuff coming out, that maybe he was going to maybe miss some games in the second half of the season because he says he's not fully healthy. And now, if it looked like Giannis was going to be dead in the water as well, then hey, look, I understand the odds aren't that attractive on Nikola Jokic, but I'll come in and I'll lay 170, I'll lay 160, 180, whatever it might be, if it looks like Giannis was going to miss some time. Fortunately, though, Mr. Bidlin, they did take some x-rays on Giannis's wrist. They came back negative. And so, hey, this is about the best time of year to get some sort of little minor injury because you got some days to have that get healthy.
Yeah, these are, I don't want to say this is a reason, but this is around the All-Star break or heading into the All-Star break. I usually dial back the old NBA betting a bit because, not because of exactly of things like this, but this is an example of several things that can happen where it just, like, this might be completely precautionary, them taking him out of the game. And if it was, you know, end of April, he could maybe be playing in that game. But, okay, All-Star break's coming up. Like you said, MRI comes back. Everything's negative. It's just a sprain, it sounds like. But, you know, he comes out of the game, doesn't come back. If it's a different time of the season, he might have come back in that game, but we don't know. So we're going to go through this entire weekend and through next until next Thursday, not really knowing the full health of Giannis Antetokounmpo, even though he is scheduled to play in a lot of these All-Star festivities. So I guess that can give you a little bit.
Yes, exactly. That's going to be the litmus test for me as to just how – I think it's minor regardless, but just how minor it is, whether he decides that he's going to do anything or whether he's just going to bow out. I imagine we probably start hearing that today.
I think so. I think he's supposed to do stuff with his brothers tonight they got going tonight.
Yeah, I imagine we start hearing that stuff today as to whether he's going to actually participate in any of these things. What we did see, though, the odds did drift at least a little bit, and I think rightfully so, right? Like, people noticed, you hear the comments from Embiid about him saying he's not healthy, then Giannis gets a little bit injured as well. And so where we were looking at Jokic even 3 or 4 days ago as kind of minus 170, 180, 190, we've now moved on the other side of $2, not just on the other side of $2. DraftKings has minus 250. BetMGM has minus 250. Caesars is even sitting at minus 275 on Nikola Jokic. And this is a combination of everything that we were kind of talking about yesterday on the show, which is, not only is he basically a walking triple-double, but he's a walking triple-double that also has the two closest guys behind him maybe dealing with some sort of injury situation. Now, the injury situation from Embiid is just coming from his mouth. Like, I mean, he's still been playing and whatnot, but he's the one telling us that he hasn't been healthy for the last 3 weeks. And then we see last night, actually with our own eyes, Giannis having to leave a game, not coming back in because of what we saw with the wrist situation. So, again, we will closely monitor this, Kelly, but the problem is, as you just mentioned, like, we have several days off, so I don't know how much information we're really going to get in all this, because Giannis can easily just say, like, as a precautionary reason, I'm not going to,
right.
You know, like, and so we don't really know anything from that. He's just going to say, you know what? It's All-Star. I'd rather just take the time to rest.
Yeah. I think if you're a Bucks backer, if you got Giannis tickets or something, obviously you'd rather see him participate this weekend, but
yes.
I wouldn't freak out if he doesn't. Right. That's all I would say.
This is the one time where it's precautionary makes total sense, right? Like,
yes.
There's nothing to read into then at that point, because a lot of times we'd be trying to read into, oh, he says precautionary, but is it something bigger? Is it whatever? Like, no. This is actually the time where a precautionary, taking the high road here of saying, like, I'll just sit on the sideline. I'll watch what's going on. I think that is actually the right thing to do, no matter what, actually. This is, like, the most minor of minor things and it was really nothing at all, if this is even a 10% injury, he should sit.
I would be keeping him home in Milwaukee. That is for sure. These odds also, we'll circle back to this in a bit later, Matt, but these odds also on the move yesterday because of Tim Pontemps released his kind of latest MVP straw poll and Jokic dominant in that. So it's one of those. We'll talk about this later about whether it's worth a bet on Jokic or not at these numbers. But like you said, we talked about this yesterday, and we're crossing guys off the list already. That list keeps getting shorter and shorter of guys we think can win this thing.
It does. It becomes really, really – at this point, too, you're almost saying – and it's not a done deal, but remember, the All-Star break is further than halfway through the season. So we've played more than half of the games that we're going to play so far in the NBA. And so, like – look at Jokic, and it's like, it might take an injury for him not to take this thing home.
Yeah.
So we will keep an eye on all that. The other thing that happened last night in the NBA, the Clippers take down the Suns 116-107. And I said a couple of things became very apparent to me last night, Kelly. And one of those things was that, hey, listen, this Clippers team, I know we have still, on this network specifically, and certainly you and JVT talking about on Hardwood Handicappers and all that, like, been beating the drum for the Clippers and saying, hey, this team can go out and win a series or two or maybe be an actual championship contender whenever it all comes down to it. I know we haven't seen them play as a complete team a ton so far this year, but when they do, they're really dangerous. Again, they win 116-107 on the Suns last night. But the other thing that really became apparent to me last night is this Suns team desperately needs Kevin Durant and desperately needs Kevin Durant to come back and be a scorer for this team. And I understand Devin Booker on certain nights can look like the most elite scorer in the NBA. And then you get a night like last night, 6 of 16, 1 of 6 from 3, and you start to see he only comes through with 19 points. And then you also have the Chris Paul situation where he's just up there in age. He's going to flash some nights. And some nights his body might just not be working right. He's not LeBron. No one's LeBron, actually. Like, no one is LeBron.
No one
at that age can perform at the level that LeBron performs at night in, night out, over and over and over again. And you get a night like that from Chris Paul, I think, 2 of 8 from the floor. He only scores 5 points, right? He only contributes the 3 rebounds to go along with the assist that he did. I mean, he did get in the double digits in assists. But you look and you say, okay, you get a bad night from Booker. You get a bad night from Paul. Ayton is never going to be the guy that can step up and score you 30. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not, like, the type of guy he really is in this offense. And so, man, this Suns team, I do think if Durant can come back healthy, can certainly – and it certainly deserves to be one of the teams that's looked at as one of the favorites, but they desperately need him because there are far too many nights like this in which – Paul's age, I think, catches up with him. Mm-hmm. Booker isn't quite on, and then they're just not going to win games.
Yeah, I think that – I mean, look, at the end of the day, do they have one of the best duos in the NBA with a healthy Kevin Durant? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't know if I'm going to say they're the best, but they're definitely one of the best, right, with Booker and Durant. My initial concerns over when the Durant trade occurred was, okay, you traded away a lot of your depth that this team had, right? And that we knew that was going to happen. If a Durant trade happened anywhere – that's what was going to happen to that team. They were going to have to strip it down and send a lot of pieces back to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. I think this Suns team can absolutely still win, but it's going to require, because you know you can't get that help from the depth, Matt.
Yeah.
It is going to require more out of Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. And those guys, as far as I'm concerned, the Suns are going to go as far as those guys can take them. And that's like you said, you can't ask for 30 a night from Ayton, but can you ask for 22 and 10 consistently, with maybe a little defense added in there? I don't think that's unfair to expect from a guy that was drafted as high as he was.
I know. And it's just, you look at a game like that last night, and don't get me wrong. I mean, the Clippers, like I said, you guys have been preaching it. JVT's been preaching it. Clippers are for real. Certainly when they have everybody out there, they got all their dudes. So, I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, my God, this is a horrible loss for the Suns team.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that you can kind of read the tea leaves here with them, that they need a dude like Durant who is that consistent scorer on a nightly basis every single time he steps on the court, because Booker's very streaky. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul wakes up old some days. You know, like some days Chris Paul turns back the clock and you're like, wow, look at that. It looks like Chris Paul again. Yep. You know, but Chris Paul wakes up old some nights and it doesn't really work for him. And so you got to have that Durant come in there and be that dude. So I'm very much looking forward to what the Suns team does look like when he's able to get out on the court and put in some significant minutes for them.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, I think it still speaks to just this Western Conference is still so wide open. You could make the case for so many teams, even with a healthy Durant. I think these two are probably the two teams to beat, Clippers and Suns. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got their issues. I think that the question you could bring back with the Clippers are, okay, I love their roster. They got two great superstars, but we just haven't seen it, right? Nobody's seen it. You can't tell me, for sure this team is great, has that level of greatness to win, because we haven't seen it from him because these guys haven't been on the court regularly.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at this too. Chris Paul has injury history over the last, 18 months. Booker certainly has injury history over the last 18 months, and so does Durant. So, like, we're just in our minds, we dreamed up this super team, and it's, like, the greatest thing we've ever seen, and we're just imagining what's going to happen on the court. But the thing is they are one play away from one of these guys grabbing a hamstring or an ankle or a knee or what a shoulder or whatever it is, and this team is absolutely nothing like we thought that it could be. A very big story coming out of the Genesis yesterday. We'll hit on that for a second, and also Derek Carr's next team when we come back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID and open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love MGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gaming problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I'm Matt Brown. I'm not Gil Alexander. He is on vacation. A much deserved rest and relaxation for him. Jeff Parles will be on the desk next week in here. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. Kelly, I want to take 1 second here to kind of just listen. It's one of those things for me. Very rarely am I the, person XYZ passes away and it kind of like, really affects. I feel like we get these connections to movie stars or to singers or something that we don't really have unless it was the first album you ever bought or the music really touched you or it was your favorite movie of all time. But so Tim McCarver passes away and it is one of those things where I do look at it. And for me, there's a couple of different voices for football. John Madden's voice, Al Michaels' voice are kind of like the voices of football. For me, like when I think about football, those are the dudes that I think about, Well, when it comes to baseball, honestly, there's only one voice for me, and it's Tim McCarver. And Tim McCarver was a guy, I didn't know him as a player, a multi-time all-star, in Major League Baseball. So I was obviously before my time. I only knew him as a broadcaster. I only knew him as the guy who, by the way, called 24 World Series.
Whoa.
24 different World Series. He really and truly was the voice of baseball for me, my childhood growing up. Like it is the voice that I think of when I think of baseball. So it was one of those things yesterday when you hear of a guy passing away where it really actually did kind of hit and mean a little bit of something to me, because I'm like, man, that is a huge part of my childhood. I was a massive baseball kid growing up. My dad was a baseball player and things like that. And so we watched the World Series, right? I mean, like, that was a thing we did as a family. That was on the television, and McCarver was kind of the voice of that, the voice of my era, voice of my childhood. And so it did kind of hit home, and again, just a Hall of Fame, you know, Hall of Fame voice, Hall of Fame broadcaster, and, you know, RIP to him.
Absolutely. One of the greats.
One of these stories coming out yesterday that we actually were dead wrong about, and guess what? We said we were going to be happy that we were wrong about is Tiger Woods over at the Genesis Invitational. Listen, I was watching. I watched every single swing. I watched every single hole. I watched every single mannerism. I was seeing, is he limping more? Is it something else? Is there what's going on? Where is he at mentally? All of this. And man, when you are sitting there watching Tiger Woods repeatedly get 175-plus ball speed, get 300-plus yard drives on multiple occasions, out there playing with his buddies and Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, watching them all smile and have a good time while all three of them played well throughout the course of the day as well. Kelly, it was an absolute pleasure, an absolute joy, and I understand Tiger's not realistically going to compete in this tournament when it's all said and done. I don't know if four rounds of that is actually in him at this point, but what I can tell you is the atmosphere was electric. You could feel it through the television. You could see it with Rory and Justin, how much they wanted to play better, how much they were really into it. The crowds all around, seeing this sea of people on a Thursday following around a singular group on the course. You just can't put into words what one guy means to a sport. And this is like more than – and people are going to say, what are you talking about? No, I'm talking about just one guy meaning something to a sport. More than Michael Jordan to basketball. More than, you know, whoever you would want to say for baseball. I don't even know at this point who you'd
change
say
the
for
game.
Whatever.
Completely.
One guy for a sport, no one compares. Like, no one compares. Because even in tennis, it was the big three for the longest. It wasn't just Federer. There was also Nadal. There was also Djokovic. Like, it's not even that. Maybe you could say Serena Williams for women's tennis. But even then, the following and everything, like what Tiger did for a singular sport, it's unparalleled. And you see it even now with the guy going out there with a bionic leg and a broken back and whatever else he's got like going on. And he's blasting, you know, 300-yard drives left and right.
I mean, the fact that he's even teeing it up is impressive to me. I mean, that's where, you know, that's kind of why we bet against him, right?
Yes.
Like it's impressive to me that he's even playing. I didn't get to watch the end of his round, so I feel like with the parts that I watched, he looked okay to kind of middling, but he finishes 16, 17, 18, birdie. The first and only time he's ever done that in his career at Riviera. So, man, I like you said, this is – we made some bets against him. I'll be happy to lose it if Tiger Woods is in contention this weekend or just playing this weekend. Like you said, he makes the sport better. It makes golf better. It makes more fun to watch. If anybody's looking to bet, I know I saw a price on Twitter earlier today. I forget which book it was, but basically the make miss odds for cut have flipped. Mm. So he is about minus 250 range to make the cut now, about plus 190, 160 to 190. I think I saw him on to miss the cut.
So to read these off, and listen, this is not like good for Tiger. This is good for any professional golfer. And, like, to think that he's doing this again at 47 after not playing competitively in just a regular tournament in over 800 days, all the things that he's gone through. Hole number two, 174-mile-an-hour ball speed, 301 yards. Hole three, 180, 331 off the drive. Hole eight, 177, 322. Hole nine, 178, 323. Hole 10, 177, 338. Hole 12, 177, 285. Hole 13, 180, 282. Hole 15, 178, 330. Hole 17, 177, 322. And then last hole today, hole 18, 177, 317 yards. Multiple 300-plus yard drives for Tiger Woods with ball speeds 175-mile-an-hour plus, which is, again, that is upper-level tour guy today, like by today's standards, and he's doing this at 47 again with a bionic leg and a broken back and everything else that's going on with him. It's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, again, I hope he makes the cut. I hope I lose. I have him head-to-head. I have Luke Donald against him head-to-head. I hope I lose the bet at this point. Now, honest to God, although Luke Donald, they're tied. Like, so Luke Donner actually went 2-under yesterday as well. So they're tied.
I saw that too, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're tied, so that bet is still live. But I, honest to God, I honestly hope I lose that bet.
The just looking at Data Golf right now, I didn't check out some of this stuff after the round. I mean, he played okay everywhere, but putted really well yesterday. You know, just kind of looking at some of the stats, he was basically above field average in most of the other stat categories. For anybody that is looking to get in on this now, round two has begun. Keith Mitchell birdied one, so he is now your leader at 8-under. Thank you, Keith Mitchell, for a first-round leader. Dead-heated cash yesterday, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it. 70-1, dead-heated, make it 35-1, all good. Good start, free roll to the tournament for me. If you want to get in on this live, though, you're looking at Rahm 3-1, Homa plus 450, Rory plus 650, Morikawa 9-1, Mitchell is up to 10-1, Justin Thomas is 18-1, Cantlay 22, Xander Schauffele 28, Scotty Scheffler 28, Cameron Young 30, and everybody else beyond that is 40 or more. Matt, I don't know if you had any thoughts heading into today. Usually, you and I typically wait till after round two, I want to say, for us to usually jump in live or something like that. At least I do. I don't think you're usually firing too
often. No, I think for me, it was more of a, I was looking for someone to fade, but I couldn't find a head-to-head against Tom Hoagie. So Tom Hoagie goes 4-under yesterday, but he loses on around the green. He loses on approach, but he was plus nearly 4 strokes putting, right? And, like, that's just not Tom Hoagie, right? And, like, whatever. So I was looking to fade him. No, there was no head-to-heads against him. There might have been Rustic Country. There wasn't here. So I don't. If your book has anybody that you feel is comparable to Tom Hoagie and you can get a good matchup against him, I think a round two matchup against him here, because again, it's just like he loses on the two things that we find most important. And then the thing that's the most fluky, he gains nearly 4 strokes putting. That typically is not going to continue. That's typically not going to play out.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not to say it won't. He could just be running ridiculously hot with the putter, but gaining 4 strokes is just not really sustainable.
Yeah, just looking at some of these others, looking at some of those putting stats too. I think if there's two other guys that I would point out, kind of in the same, in the same way, is Doug Gim and Thomas Dietrich. Mm-hmm. I mean, two guys who I've bet, you know, multiple times over the past year or two. I like those guys, but I mean Dietrich. I mean, he gained over 3 strokes putting. Almost minus 3.7 strokes around the green. That's not going to get it done here, Matt. We know that. So, I would look. That would be another guy I'd probably target against. Look, Doug Gim gained on approach, but he's a great irons player. We know that. We know he can do that. But he was another guy that putted extremely well yesterday, while the rest of the game was all kind of okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are two other guys I'd probably add on this in the same vein of what you're talking about with Hoagie.
And oh, by the way, John Rahm, ho-hum, just goes out 6-under. Like, it's like we said. Like, the guy had his B game last week and still finished in third.
You and I both have Homa. How confident – what percent chance do you give Homa of getting home for us?
Oh, boy. Listen, if it wasn't Rahm and Colin Morikawa was breathing down his neck, and Rory is not that far off either, it's like –
11%? 12%?
One in ten, maybe. Something like that. We are going to get to those Derek Carr next team odds when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports betting as much as you. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign up your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program. Send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus, the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, and those bonus bets do expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. All of them end with "and not in Nevada." All the good promotions always end with "and not in Nevada."
And not in Nevada.
And I'm like, don't I know it? Don't I know it?
What'd you spot the other day? Was it stations with a bonus for us?
Cool. There were some shots fired by them as well. When we had one of the prominent apps was down here for an extended period of time, you get a promotional email that says the most reliable sports book in Nevada. It was like little shots fired going on there. Come on back. If you've been gone, we'll give you a bonus. It's a rare time we'll get a bonus when they're like, oh, we have an opportunity. Let's take advantage of it.
What did I text you? They might have gotten me. I haven't had money in my station's account since COVID. That was one of the COVID hit. Let me get all my money on all these accounts, and I haven't been back since, so I might be back.
It was so great. I mean, it's like I'm sitting here trying to go. I'm like, how much did I win or lose on the Super Bowl? And this happened. I can't figure out. And then I get this promo email. It's like, hey, you having problems with another book in town? Here's one, and here's a $50 bonus.
Try this one out.
Yeah, if you want to do it. One thing that we did mention when we were talking golf, and we're going to do no spoilers or whatever, but you and I both got through episode 2 of Full Swing, and it's just the greatest program ever made. It really is. You can say it, Kelly. It's the greatest program ever made.
It's awesome. Wait, hold on. Real quick, I want to do live round 2 matchups in case anybody's interested. Tiger Woods plus 150 against Justin Thomas minus 205. Rory, minus 155, JT, plus 115. Rory, minus 275, Tiger Woods, plus 200. I mean, I'm assuming not taking Tiger at any of those. You lay at any of those prices?
Yeah.
I'd probably stay away from all those.
I'd probably stay away from all of them, too, after what I saw yesterday. I guess we don't know. We don't know what he's going to feel like when he woke up this morning after playing a full round for the first time in a long time. But I guess I'm done betting against the cyborg of a human that he is, apparently.
It's definitely easier to not bet against him and just root for him. There's no doubt about that. But yes, it is full swing.
Full swing.
Break point, and I keep wanting to go Point Break. So now Full Swing's got me screwed up like Fall Swing or something like that. I don't know. Full Swing, though, is great. It's incredible. You want to hear – this is my favorite takeaway from it. Jeremy Wangle, one of our great directors here at VEASAN, and big golf fan, big golf better with us, he comes to me yesterday. He walks into work yesterday, and we're talking a bit about the show. And he's like, yeah, I watched every episode.
He's already plowed through it.
Yeah, he went through it. I was like, whoa, really? I was like, it's that good? He's like, man, it's okay. I'm like, wait, you stayed up and watched all 8 episodes and it's just okay?
No. The first 2 episodes were fantastic.
And they're really good. They're really good.
So episode 2, no spoilers, but it's kind of like the juxtaposition of Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler. And so, like, that's kind of the theme of episode number 2, if you want to go in and take a look at that, because it's just, you know, one guy on the meteoric rise while another guy kind of starts to struggle. It's a pretty cool.
It was really well done.
Yeah,
That part I don't think is going to change at all, Matt. Like, it is a really well done documentary.
Yes.
Now, does it?
I don't want it to affect my betting. Like, I'm honest to God, that's the only thing I'm scared about.
Me too.
Do I like that guy now or do I hate that guy now or what? I'm just like, I don't want to bet on a guy because I saw him in a documentary that I like.
It already personally did. I fired on a JT first round leader because of it a little bit. Yes.
Here's the other thing about it. It's like, it's the Hard Knocks effect. Like, you come out of Hard Knocks and you're like, I kind of like the Lions. Like, you know, like whatever. Like, I kind of like the Lions. Well, you're going to I'm going to come out of this and be like, I thought I hated Brooks Koepka and like whatever. He's just a guy like you and me, you know, like whatever. A guy like you and me in a $12 million house like down in Florida and whatever.
Too bad for him. He'll be okay.
All the things like that. All right. So Derek Carr is going to be playing somewhere else. And so we're trying to figure out where Derek Carr might actually go and play football. And so this is the Derek Carr next team odds that you can find over at DraftKings. Saints are your favorite, plus 250. The Jets come in at 4-1. Bucks are plus 450, Colts 5-1, Panthers 5.5-1, Commanders 7.5-1. Also, the Titans come in 7.5-1, Patriots 12-1, Packers 15-1, and then the Texans are 20-1. So we can scratch the Texans off. They're drafting a quarterback. We know that. So don't waste your money on that one. We can pretty much scratch the Colts off of there as well. I mean, if the owner coming out and talking about how, you know, one of the things that he really liked in Shane Steichen was how he came in and said how he can develop a young quarterback and all the things like that. I mean, like, the Colts basically tipped their hand. They're going to be drafting quarterback as well, so you can pretty much scratch them off the list as well. I think the Panthers also likely drafting a quarterback. I don't understand why you would be looking at trying to do a retread there with the Panthers. I think that that is a franchise that going to get a, you know, has a really good opportunity, good pick to take one of those young quarterbacks. So look at the top here. The Saints make the most sense in the world. The Saints don't have a high draft pick. They're not going to be able to draft a quarterback. The Saints have at least a decent roster that I think if you're Derek Carr, you could look at in a weak division, in a division that no team has a quarterback currently, and in a division that you could go in, you would instantly get to work with a couple of veteran wide receivers and then also a young wide receiver that just got drafted for them. So I think that you look at that situation and you say, you know, could I see myself throwing to Olave and Michael Thomas, Jarvis, and you know, could I do this in a division where like, hey, look, probably not going to win a Super Bowl, but it'd be fun to get in the playoffs. So all you got to do is win the division. Like, this is a trash division. So it makes all the sense.
Playing with a great running back.
Yeah, right? Like, it makes all the sense in the world from that aspect. So the plus 250 makes sense to me. I think that unless there is something – again, I don't know what the motivation is with these guys as far as winning. And a guy like Derek Carr, who's made a ton of money, does he still continue to want to make a ton of money? Because, again, like the Jets, I get it too. But then you're going back to AFC, and you already know what you've got to get through to get have success in the AFC. Like, I don't get it. But, again, I am also not having a contract handed to me where there might be $8 million more on it from another team than the other team. So I don't.
I mean, it's almost like I'm just kind of chuckling back here because we're talking the golf stuff. It's almost like the live PGA situation, right? You want to go to the AFC? Maybe you can make more money on another team.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we're ever going to see you in the playoffs or on the big stage, right? So I don't know. I think the Saints do make sense. I don't know if I'm running a bet this one right now. I do want to hit Rodgers here in a second, but the one team I want to discuss is the Bucks. What are the Bucks going to do this offseason?
So I think this has to be a complete teardown, and if that's the case, to me, it doesn't make sense to take Derek Carr. I mean, if you look, they have so many free agents. They're going to be in cap trouble as well. They have they're aging. You know, that's the other thing about this. Like, it's an aging team. So I just don't see a ton of upside in getting Derek Carr unless they are kind of looking at it like we are, where they look around and go, well, the Saints might be terrible, and then the Panthers and Falcons might also be terrible. So can we win 9 games and win, you know, whatever? Like, is there any way in the world we can win 9 games and possibly get back to the playoffs with the Derek Carr at quarterback? I think that's the only thing that would get him there.
I think that's a big thing still. That's where I don't know what the Bucks are going to do this offseason because of what you're talking about. I think if you were almost in any other division, I think it'd be, okay, tear it all down. We got to start this rebuild. It's going to take a little while, but we got to start it now. But the NFC South is so bad that, I don't know, you do go out and add a guy like Derek Carr. It might change. It might put you right in the driver's seat.
I mean, listen, it's not my team, and I know they say they're going to go with Sam Howell, but the Commanders seem interesting to me because you put a competent quarterback in there with McLaurin and John Dotson and all the stuff. Like you've got, like, got some dudes that he could work with and throw to and whatever. You got a couple of running backs that catch the ball well out of the backfield. And
they're not really going to be rolling with Sam Howell, are they?
That's the plan. That's the plan.
That's the plan, but what did they give the guy? A whole 2 starts last year? Like, they clearly didn't convince them of much. He didn't convince them of much till late in the season.
Well, and if we're going to keep scratching names off, we can scratch the Packers. If they're moving on from Aaron Rodgers, they're going to go with Jordan Love, who they spent a first-round pick on.
Right.
Like, they're not going to, like, go and sign Derek Carr, so we can scratch them off as well. We know the Texans are driving, scratch those guys off. So I do think it's down to really only about 4 teams on this list. I think that the Titans are certainly going to move on from Ryan Tannehill, but what does that really mean or look like? And again, going back to the AFC, do you really want to do that? But again, I don't know what the kind of money Derek Carr is going to demand, right? Like, I don't know if he would really turn down a good situation for more money elsewhere. And I don't know what they're going to pay him. He's middling. He's middling.
It's tough. It's tough. We'll talk more about it because I want to hit the Rodgers one quick later in the show, too.
Yeah, we will do that. But when we come back, we're going to talk to our friend and yours, Pete Futak, on his NFL mock draft.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
MGM customers, if you got a friend who loves sports betting as much as you, you both can make a $50 bonus in the Refer a Friend program. Just log on your MGM account, click on Refer a Friend, and send them a message inviting them to register for an account in the same state that you bet using BetMGM. Once your friend signs up, makes a deposit, they'll get a $50 bonus, and then when they bet and clear that bet, you will also get a $50 bonus. Share in the excitement over at BetMGM with this Refer a Friend program. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older. The promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are issued as withdrawable bonus bets, and those bonus bets expire in 30 days. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada and Mississippi. Hopefully we will get Pete Futak here in just a bit. But until then, Kelly, we noticed as we were wanting to get him on to talk about, explain yourself, you know, do some splaining. And then we realized that he's changed up his whole his mock draft in the last like 24 hours. So we can't do anything.
Past couple days. You know what? We should still get his thoughts on if Billy Levi stands a chance or not.
Yeah. I mean, no, for sure. I mean, this is one of those things where I am okay saying, you know what, Pete, you changed your mind. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with it. Like, it is what it is. That's what separates us from animals. Like, we can make these rational decisions, right? I mean, we can go in and we can change our minds. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so
other animals change their minds?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. not on their mock draft picks. Like, certainly not on their mock draft picks. I hear
dolphins are smart. If they start swimming one way, can they not be like, wait, I'm going the wrong way?
Listen, my dog might look and be like, oh, this is too far to jump off of or something or whatever. Yeah. And he changes his mind, but he doesn't change his mock draft picks. He sticks to them. He doesn't have that rational mind thought to be able to go in and make the changes. So that is what separates us, at least from my dog, anyway. So, look, Aaron Rodgers, we do have Aaron Rodgers' next team as well that we're looking at. Aaron Rodgers is the favorite to land in Las Vegas, minus 250 in this via DraftKings. Jets plus 250, Packers plus 300. Then it gets really long after that. Commanders, Bucks, Colts all 18-1, Titans 20, 49ers 22, Patriots 22, and then Panthers are 25. It makes the most sense in the world. It's going to be the Raiders or the Jets. That's going to be it, Kelly. I mean, like, there's no real handicap here. And, I mean, you could bet him to stay with the Packers. But, again, everyone we keep talking to says he probably wants out of there. They don't really want him anymore either. And it's like, seems like it's going to be Raiders or Jets.
Okay, so that's everything you're hearing. You're right. You are right. Even from seemingly Packers people, right? Yes. It's that this team's kind of ready to rebuild. They're kind of ready to move on. But I don't think they still got to trade the guy, right? Like, it's 3-1 on a guy who's on a team that they have to trade somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Matt, if you forced, I wouldn't bet this market right now, but if you forced me to, it would absolutely be the Packers still.
Wow, really? I've heard that the asking price is like not going to be that expensive for him. At least that's what the NFL insiders are saying.
And that's why I wouldn't bet this right now, because I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. But and again, everything we've heard seemingly is the Packers are ready to move on. But
that they were like, hey, give us a two, and like you can have him. Take that salary, you know, whatever, and that's like, give us a two.
You really think that's what it's going to end up being?
And we'll it's a rent a quarterback, right? I mean, like that's the thing. It's like his worth. The salary is so big, and then you also like might get 1 year out of him. So, you know, it just kind of is.
The other thing is, does this become like a Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson thing where the Watson contract screws up what Lamar Jackson's trying to do? So is Tom Brady playing to the age that he played to going to, you know, inspire Aaron Rodgers in his camp of, hey, you know, no, this is, we need more whatever further down the line. I don't know. All that's possible.
We'll ask our guest here what he thinks about all of this whenever, you know, the guy gets out of
We got Pete ready.
Yeah,
ready
that's what I'm saying. Whenever the guy gets out of the dark closet for 4 days or whatever it is and all the things like that. He is the owner, proprietor, and basically the head honcho over at collegefootballnews.com. He is your friend and mine, Pete Futak. How you doing, buddy?
Now that I figured out how the Skype thing is that the kids are all using nowadays, it's actually working. It helps if you sign in.
Yeah.
That tends to be a positive.
But did you first go to your Instagram? Did you is that what you opened your Instagram first? And then you're like, oh, that's not how I can connect to them. And then your TikTok.
You don't even start. I'm an Apple guy living in a Microsoft world with a lot of that stuff. So I will figure it out at some point. But at least we're able to connect. How you
Absolutely.
Been?
I've been doing good, man. It's been a hot minute. And you know, I'm sure you probably have the same opinion as us that when Aaron Rodgers gets out of the room, the dark room that he's going to be in for 4 days, he's going to come out and go, you know what, $60 million actually sounds pretty great. You know what, I think I am just going to go back and earn $60 million.
Well, the thing about it is these quarterbacks, once you're done, you're done. I mean, like, Tom Brady's not – I still don't think he's done. I mean, like, if you can still play, why not? Like, what else are you going to do? Like, this is what you do, and once it's over, that's it. And if you can still do it at a reasonably high level, it's not like, you know, the end of Peyton Manning's career, you knew, okay, he kept it going, and then that was it. Brady still looked fine. He still looked like he could play, even though he lost his fastball a little bit. And Rodgers can absolutely still play. So this is where it's going to be interesting, because to professional segue here, you look at the mock drafts coming up. Well, the Raiders are going to be sitting right there with the possibility of taking a quarterback. But Las Vegas is one of those destinations, kind of like Tampa Bay is, where old quarterbacks would love to go. And if you're Rodgers with Devontae, doesn't that seem like the natural fit, just as opposed to just him just going anywhere just for a year?
I'm glad that you segued into your mock draft here. And listen, I have respect for a guy who doesn't do the mock trade in their mock draft. I am giving people passes this year because it seems like Chicago should trade out of that number one pick. So I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt whenever they do that. However, you didn't. You stood strong here with Chicago at one, where you have them taking Jalen Carter. In your opinion, is he the best player in the draft overall? Or do you think this is just one of those, okay, I'm filling a need here for Chicago?
I have a thing for defensive tackles mm-hmm. that you can build around. And, you know, you're right. See, to me, I know it sounds ultra pretentious and highbrow and all that kind of stuff, but I'm ignore anybody who does a mock draft with trades. You can't do it because you can't make it happen, because it's kind of like Sudoku. If you get one number wrong, it screws everything else up. And once you start thinking, oh, well, of course, Seattle's going to parlay its two picks to move up to the one. Well, you can't. You just, unless there's something credible, you can't do it. So until you have to, you got to play it straight. But no, I mean, this is the quarterback draft. And obviously the Bears are not going to take a quarterback. I live in Chicago. You can do all the philosophical discussions you want over whether or not Bryce Young or CJ Stroud's actually a better pro prospect than Justin Fields. But at the moment, no, they need defensive help. So they can trade down. They're going to get a king's ransom for it, whether it's to Houston, whether it's to Indianapolis, or whether it's to anyone who wants to move up. But the problem is, we got to go through the process. We don't know who everyone's going to fall in love with. Bryce Young's the best quarterback in this draft, but he's also 3'5". Mm-hmm. You know, he just doesn't have the size. He's got the smarts, the intellect, the ability, the arm strength, everything else, but he's just really small. Will Levis has the size and everything else, but he got beaten up last year by Kentucky. He's going to look great in the workouts. He might be the one everyone wants. And CJ Stroud kind of falls somewhere in the middle of all that. And then the big wild card's Anthony Richardson. So we need to see who falls in love with someone enough to want to move up to the one with Chicago. So for the moment, assume Chicago gets Jalen Carter, whether it's at the one or the three or somewhere else like that, because he might fall a little bit because those quarterbacks are going to go way high.
So, Pete, I'm of the mindset, and I think you have in your mock draft, so like, we're going to have four first-round quarterbacks go. Like, no one's going to – a team is not going to pass on Anthony Richardson on the prayer and hope that his upside is Josh Allen, right? I mean, like that – so
He's Josh Allen. That's the exact dead-right comp.
Yeah.
He's Josh Allen, except, you know, with even, you know, potential big – you know, as big an upside, even a bigger arm.
Is there a fifth quarterback you think that could sneak into the first round?
Tanner McKee is kind of one of those guys. I am a thing for Stanford quarterbacks. I still am a believer that Davis Mills can be a good quarterback. He had no help around him at Houston. I mean, no wide receivers whatsoever. Tanner McKee looks the part, but his health is an issue. So I don't think he's going to sneak into that first round, though.
So if they post this thing, because Kelly and I have been talking about this, if they post it at four quarterbacks, I mean, you have to take the over because four are definitely going to go.
Four and
if
a
they
half,
post it
yeah,
at four and a half, you probably have to take the under because I'm kind of with you. I just don't know if someone's going to be desperate enough. I mean, maybe the Saints are sitting there with that 30th pick and maybe they decide they want to roll the dice and get a fifth-year option.
So you're still mocking my that I'm still going with the idea that Jacob Eason is going to fall into the late first round, or every year I've got one of those guys that like, well, of course they're going to see this, and someone at the 29 is going to think, no, it's at this point you can just take them out. So no, it's going to be four.
Pete, thanks for taking some time this morning. You can see his full mock draft over at collegefootballnews.com and follow him on the Twitter machine at Pete Futak. Appreciate it, buddy.
Better. Have a good one.
See, the problem was, Kelly, he had logged into his MySpace and was trying to, like, connect with us through to his MySpace. And it's like, that's not how you can get on the show. You can't. It's not the MySpace anymore, and you can't do it through Facebook or any of that stuff. You actually got to get Skype, download that, and get going here. When we come back, talk to Dallin Cuff